Reading from the Word of God, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 30. Very, very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." As other versions render it, abundantly. "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking on Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for the proclamation of your truth that comes from the very light of the world, the Messiah, the Christ, our Savior King, in whose name we pray and praise. Amen. Here's an idea for you to try out this year. Instead of going home and opening presents, if that's a Christmas Eve tradition with you, or instead of opening those presents tomorrow morning, take them unopened and toss them in the trash. Then instead of writing thank you notes, send a note to everyone who gave you a present and tell that person that you despise him or her for daring to think enough of you to give you a present. Demonstrate your displeasure to every giver in any way that you can. Sound a bit Scrooge-like? Grinch-like? Yeah, I heard that. It certainly does. So, okay, you don't really have to do all that unsavory stuff. Enjoy your presence. You have my permission. But the sad truth is that countless numbers of people do that very thing with God's gift. It's bad enough to just ignore the gift, which plenty of people do, but some go much further than just ignoring it. They despise it. They trash it. They express their displeasure to others. They try to convince others to ignore and despise the gift as well. This is nothing new, for Scripture reveals that King Herod tried to kill the gift, literally. That's a pretty radical expression of displeasure. Yet, in spite of all the attempts to silence those who speak of the gift giver, God has persisted. In spite of millions of rebuffs, he keeps offering his gift to every man, woman, and child upon the planet. Extremely generous, isn't he? I would have gladly given up a long time ago. Not God, though. Since his promises are eternal, so too is his gift, because his gift is the fulfillment of all of his promises. God's gift is life. It becomes more evident each year that we need to keep Christ in Christmas. We need to refresh ourselves in the hope that Christ, the gift from God, offers. In John 10, Jesus portrays himself as a shepherd. Those who follow him are spoken of as sheep. This is often seen as a peaceful image, a very pastoral image, but how does that help us receive and open and appreciate God's gift? Well, we begin with his voice. Christ's sheep hear his voice. We who are in his fold know the voice of our shepherd. We know Jesus because the personal testimony of his love is given to us. The promises made in the Old Testament come to life in Jesus. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7, for instance, tells us that the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth those who trust in him. Not everyone who heard Jesus followed him. The officials who asked Jesus if he were the Christ, the Messiah, could not hear the shepherd's reply. The answer Jesus gave was not the answer they wanted. By this time in the life and ministry of Jesus, they knew the answer that he would give. Since his gift did not meet their expectation, they did not believe him. They were not a part of his flock. The good shepherd could not make himself understood to those not in his fold. In John 8:47, we read, "The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." One leader of the early church, Chrysostom, wrote that if they don't follow Jesus, it is not because he is not a shepherd, but because they are not sheep, or at least his sheep. We hear the voice of the shepherd, and he promises to know us. Upon hearing the voice of their shepherd, the sheep follow him. So it should be for us. We trust our shepherd, just as a young child trusts her parents, or a young lamb trusts its master. When we hear our shepherd's voice, our heads lift up, and we become attentive. We follow because we know our shepherd cares for us. How does the good shepherd care for us? By giving his sheep eternal life. God's gift is life. The shepherd keeps us in his fold. All in Christ's flock will never perish. We will never perish because we are not dependent upon our own poor efforts at salvation. Rather, we are surrounded by an active and wonderful grace that is set upon our salvation, that is able to fulfill it, and that will not be turned back. Just as the sheep become lost and confused when allowed to wander away from the shepherd, so we would be eternally lost without the shepherd to find us and to watch over us. We hear our shepherd's voice. He knows us. We follow him, and he gives us eternal life. The shepherd's sheep will never perish. We shall never perish, nor will any man pluck us out of his hand, because it is God who has committed our souls to Christ's safekeeping. We know that we rest in the hand of Christ because God has placed us there. We cannot be snatched out of the hand of God, for he is the power of the universe. Isaiah 43:13 tells us, "Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall hinder it?" In order for anyone to be able to snatch us from the shepherd, it will be necessary to begin by wrestling us away from God himself. It is God who has poured his divine resources upon us. Who can snatch them away? The reality of this truth is found in the very first book of the Bible. "And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them." Commenting on this event, Ken Ham writes, "God must have killed an animal or animals and shed its blood to clothe Adam and Eve. This is the origin of clothing. Why do we wear clothes? Animals don't wear clothes, but humans do, because we're not animals. We are different, being made in God's image. God gave clothes because of sin, because sin distorts all of our thinking. Sin distorts everything. Now there has to be a covering. Also, that covering was symbolic of the fact that God would provide a way to take away our sin so we could live with our Creator forever. In spite of their sin, God refused to allow Adam and Eve to be snatched out of his hand. So even in the Christmas season, our reflections do not end at the birth of Christ, as miraculous as it is. As is proclaimed in multiple Christian hymns, Jesus is Lord at birth. God's promise of deliverance from sin begins at the birth of Christ. Hebrews 9:22 tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And then we learn that it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Hebrews 10:4. Referring once more to Ken Ham, we are made in God's image, but because of sin, we are separated from God forever. But God wants us to live forever with him. For this to happen, there has to be the payment for sin. There has to be reparations, and we cannot pay the reparations. Only God can do this because we're sinners. We cannot pay for our own sin. Because death is a consequence of sin, there has to be the giving of a life to pay the penalty for sin. You see, in spite of this, there is hope. Isn't that one of the words of the season? Hope. We gather because we are a hopeful people. "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." Isaiah 53:5. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Our sins are covered because of God's gift of life. This then is the source of our confidence as a Christian. We are cared for by Christ, the Good Shepherd. We cannot be lost, for our Good Shepherd watches over us by both day and night. We are kept safe in the fold of God. We can never perish. Yes, we have enemies. We have trials. We have tribulations. They may happen internally. They may happen externally. They may be physical or emotional. Satan attacks on every front. But none of them can pluck us out of the Father's hand. We are safe in his fold. We have assurance. We have confidence. We have God's gift of life. Christians have a way to overcome our earthly struggles. We have a way to overcome our fears, our anxieties, our depressions. We have the shepherd, God's gift of eternal life, all who are in the fold of the good shepherd. That is, the Christian believer will never perish. This is why we celebrate this night with the Lord's Supper, the body and the blood. Emmanuel, God with us, came to us in the stable manger and vanquished the darkness. He grew and ministered among his people with wisdom and miracle. He is the only good shepherd, the only shepherd who could lay down his life for his sheep.